We're in the middle of Torah Lamed Hey, paragraph Ches. A brief review. This Torah was not an easy Torah. It has some deep concepts. We'll go over the basic concepts, and I believe today we'll be able to complete the Torah. Rabbi Nizal mentioned that tshuva means to return something to its point of origin, and the origin of everything in this world is Chachma. Kulam bechachma asisa. Hashem created everything with Chachma. Then he went on to discuss the Chachma of Kedusha, which is the Chachma of the Torah, versus Sichlios Chitzonios, which he referred to as Basparoi. And we know that Shlomo HaMelech, who is the symbol of Chachma of Kedusha, when he got involved in Basparo, there were all kinds of side effects, unfortunately. The Korban Tomid was delayed, woke up late, all kinds of things that the Gemara mentions. And Rabbi Nizal referred to these Chochmos Chitzonios. He elaborated a little bit on that topic. And he said that when a person allows that into his brain, it occupies space, shrinks the amount of space that's available for Chochmah of Kedusha. That's one problem. And number two, he mentioned that all the Taivos Rois and Midos Rois of a person are founded on the Chochmos Chitzonios in the brain. He gave the example of where it says that Gavriel, the angel, the Gemara says the angel Gavriel came down and he stuck a reed into the sea, and on that reed was founded Rome. And Rabbi Nizal says here that the sea represents the Yam HaChochma, and the reed, in this case, represents these Chochmos Chitzonios. And if a person allows these Chochmos into his head, then unfortunately they become a base and a foundation for all kinds of Taivos Rois and Midos Rois. Then he went on to say it's not enough for a person to take in Chochma and Seichel into the brain. A person has to be Mechadesh that Seichel. We have to renew and rejuvenate that Seichel, which is also referred to as Chidush HaNeshama. And the way that that's accomplished is through sleep. Then Rabbi Nizal went on to give several different interpretations of what sleep means. One form of sleep is, as we know it, when a person goes to sleep at night, they close their eyes, the brain shuts down to a large degree, and the moichin, the brain, is renewed within and revitalized in emuna, which is what's taking over at night, as the pasuk says, ve'emunascha balelois. And chadoshim labekorim rabbe munasecha. The moichin, the brain, receives his chadshus through this increase of emuna at night when a person goes to sleep. That's also, we mentioned why one of the main tefillos of the day is the kriyashma alamita, because kriyashma represents emuna, and the kriyashma alamita, the kriyashma before we go to sleep, is activating the emuna that's needed to give the brain, the sechel, the neshama, the person, the renewal and the rejuvenation that it needs for the new day. Then we said another example and form of sleep is Limud Pashtei Oraisa, which is the study of Torah in its simple form. We gave an example, Chumash and Rashi, or Gemara, even Gemara, for a person who's used to studying much deeper studies, Pnimius HaTorah, Kabbalah, Super Dveikus Tashem. For such a person, the study of Gemara is like putting it in low gear, in a sense. And then Rabbi Nizal mentioned that the moichin that one receives through this emuna, this renewal that takes place, these moichin we receive from the Oyer Haponim of Hashem Kaviochel, the light of the face of Hashem, which is a term that's used in several chapters in Likutei Moran. It's used very often in Sifrei Kabbalah, receiving from the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. We know that when the Kohanim bestow the bracha on Klal Yisrael, a major part of the bracha is Yoer Hashem Pono Veilecha. May Hashem shine the light of His face upon you. And we know when the Torah speaks about a Jew going to the Beis Hamikdash, it's to receive the Oyer Haponim. Shalosh Pamim Bashono Yeiroe Kol Zchurcha Es Pnei Hashem Alekecha. To receive the face of Hashem Kaviyochel. It's a term that's used in many places. So here Rabbi Nizal tells us that this renewal of the Seichel and the Neshama, it receives its newness, its new Seichel, from the Oyer Haponim, via Emuna. Rabbi Nizal also included Yerushalayim as the Kirya Ne'emona, the trustworthy city, the faithful city. Okay, that generally summarizes the major topics that we spoke about so far in the Torah. Then, we had learned another form of sleep is when a person goes out to work. When a Jew is oisek b'masa umatan, business, which the Gemara refers to also as emuna, masa umatan be'emuna, it's called. Conducting business with faith and in a trustworthy manner. That's also a form of sleep, giving rest to the brain, a brain that's used to deep study of Torah. For such a person, the work, the thought process that they have to use at work is much lighter and easier. It's like sleep mode compared to the intense depth when the person is studying the full depth of Torah, or Dveikus to Hashem. And then Rabbeinu Zal added another piece. He said that it's important during the nighttime. We know nighttime darkness is a time when the klipos have extra power and strength. So that sleep mode, when we speak about sleep, whether it's the study of Pashtei Oraisa, whether it's actual sleep, whether it's doing business, is a time when there's a danger of the klipos being able to draw and draw excessively, which can do harm to the Kedusha. So Rabbeinu Zal had said towards the end of the last paragraph that we covered that we have to draw the light of Chashmal from the Olam Habina, which cloaks the Malchus. It serves like a fence, like a protection around the Malchus, so that the Klipos should not be able to draw in a harmful, excessive type of way. And we said that the way that we activate this Chashmal from the Olam Habina, we said that Chashmal and Bina is connected to the heart of a person. And this refers to that when a person is trying to be honest and trustworthy in business, that means not just fulfilling what you say, what comes out of your mouth, but even fulfilling what's in your heart. The Gemara gives the example of Rav Safra, who was in the middle of Kriyashma or Shmon Esrei, and somebody made an offer to buy something from him at a certain price, and Rav Safra couldn't answer. The person thought he's being silent in order for the person to offer a higher price. And he upped the price again and again to a much, much higher price than the original offer. When Rav Safra finished davening, he said that the item is yours at the first price that you offered. Because as soon as you offer that first price, in my heart, I was agreeable to it. And even though there was no verbal commitment, I uphold even what's in my heart. V'doiver emes bilvavoi. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this madrega v'doiver emes bilvavoi, this is what activates that light of chashmal, which is associated with the lathe. Rabbeinu Zal quoted a gematria that chashmal lathe is bigematria shma. And Shema means Lev Shomea. That refers to this light of Bina, this light coming from Bina that protects the Malchus, the Emuna, the sleep. Okay, now let's continue from where we left off, which is paragraph Ches. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to connect all of this to the Beis HaMikdash and the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, which is part of our Tfilah Shachris in the morning, the Karbonos. U'kishe'odom oisek b'masu matn b'emuna. When a Jew is doing business faithfully in an honest way, oisek b'dinei momenos. He is engaged in the laws of money matters. The Shulchan Aruch Hoshen Mishpat is being activated when a Jew goes out to business to work. All of those laws come into play. Hainu pashtei oraisa. And again, that's one of the forms of the simple study of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal here is referring to the study of Halacha compared to Kabbalah, compared to Dveikus in Hashem. Halacha is like sleep in comparison. Ze bechinas hakrovas hakorban tomid v'haktoras haktoiris. The light that a Jew activates, the spiritual powers that a Jew activates when he's conducting business in a faithful way, are tied into the bringing, the offering of the Korban Tomid and the offering of the Ketoiris. Ki al yidei, because the Arizal explains in his Sforim, in the Shara Kavonois and in the Pri Etz Chaim, the Arizal explains, ki al yedei hatomid oilim chochma binodas da asiya biyitzira. That by our offering the korban tomid in the Beis Hamikdash, so when we say the korban tomid in korbanos, we cause the light of chochma bina and das of the lowest world of the oilim huasiya to go up and leave the Olam HaSiyah and enter into the Olam HaYitzira, which is called the world of the angels. We know, those that study biology know, that what causes a person to breathe, when a person takes air into the respiratory system, what causes that to happen is the diaphragm, which is a certain part of the body below the lungs, the diaphragm moves down. It creates an empty space, in a sense, and when there's a vacuum, the air rushes in a sense. That's what causes a person to take in breath. Lahavdil, lahavdil. Here, when the Chachma Bina Das of the Olam Huasiya gets bumped up to the Olam Hayetzira, it creates an empty space, in a sense. That sucks up the sparks, the holy sparks of Kedusha, that were below the Malchus even, that were in the Klipa. They were outside the arena of Kedusha. They were in the Klipa. That causes them to rise up besoid achad osor samamonik toiris, based on the secret of the 11 spices of the toiris. We know that the number 10 represents holiness. The Gemara says, ein Kedusha pochais miyud. When you have a quorum of 10, you can say Kedusha, Kaddish. 11, the number of 11 implies we're going out of the ballpark of Kedusha. We're going down into the domain of the Sitra Achra to search for and find holy sparks from there and be able to remove them, bring them back into the domain of Kedusha. So Rabbi Nazal says now, the holy sparks that had fallen into the Klipa go up in the concept of the 11 spices of Torahs, Bibichinas Malchus. They go up and become part of the Malchus of Asiya. Ukisha'odom oisek b'masa umatan. Continuing, when a Jew is involved in business, v'hamasa umatan hu bichinas dinei momenois, and his engaging in business is an aspect of the laws of money matters. Hainu pashtei oraisa, again, the simpler level of Torah. Nimtza b'shas asiyas masa umatan oisek b'pashtei oraisa. So while he's engaged in business, he's involved in this lower level of Torah, the halacha, the Torah, the pashtei oraisa. If you recall, or if you don't recall even, in chapter 11 in Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal made reference to something that the Arizal says, that there are two sentences in Tehillim that reflect halacha versus Kabbalah. There's a sentence in Tehillim where Dovid HaMelech says, Horiu Lashem kol ha'aretz. The entire world sings to you, Hashem. The first letters of Horiu Lashem kol ha'aretz make up the word halacha. Then there's another sentence, Hishtachavu Lashem behadras kodesh. They bow to you, Hashem, in your holy domain, in your holy throne room, in a sense. The first letters of that pasuk, Hishtachavu Lashem behadras kodesh, spell the word Kabbalah. So that again, halacha represents the study of Torah for the common man, kol haaretz. That applies to the entire world. Kabbalah, the secrets of Torah, the pnimius of Torah, the real depth of Torah, the Kabbalah, that's Hishtachavu Lashem Bahadras Kodesh. That's being in the throne room of Hashem, Kaviyochel. So back to where we're up to here. So again, during Masu Matan, a person's always seeking Pashtei Oraisa. Go ahead, somebody's asking something.
Wasn't that radically changed, though, especially in Chassidus and especially with Rabbi Nachman, Kabbalah being more open to the masses? So how does that work with what Rabbi Nachman just said?
The answer is that the Zohar HaKadosh and the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, in the last generations preceding the coming of Moshiach, the Kabbalah is going to be opened up. The Zohar HaKadosh is going to be revealed. The Zohar HaKadosh, which was not available to the Tanoim and Amoroim and the Rishonim and Rashi, Rambam, they did not have these books. As we get closer to Moshiach, these books are going to be revealed and made available more so in order to combat the super darkness that's going to be prevalent before the coming of Moshiach. So this isn't just Rabbi Nachman. This is what the revolution that we've seen that started. It started during the time of the Arizal a little bit, and it keeps expanding and expanding to the point where in the past 20 years, the incredible commentaries have been written on the Zohar HaKadosh to make it available again to the masses, to thousands and tens of thousands of Jews who did not have access to it before, and today they do have access. And again, the Sifrei Chassidus also. Still, the level on which the ordinary people are receiving it is still a micro level compared to the true depth of these teachings. Even though we have commentaries today on the Zohar Kodesh, etc., the real deep concepts of Kabbalah are still very limited audience. Very limited audience.
Rabbi, would you say that the phenomenon of so many people davening by the graves of tzaddikim, who clearly had this connection to what you're talking about, is also an extension of what you're saying? Essentially, it's through the tzaddikim people are reaching out to this Pnimius HaTorah, the world everywhere.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. Let's continue, please. Okay, so nimtza b'shas asiyas ha-matmatn, when we're involved in conducting business, oisek b'pshoto oraisa, we're involved in these lower levels of Torah, shehem b'chinas malach memtes ha-mekanein b'yitzira. This is also related to what's written, what the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, about a certain angel that's called the malach memtes. This angel is associated with the study of Mishnah and Gemara. This angel is referred to as a combination of good and bad. We've mentioned this before in different chapters of Likutei Moran, but just to touch on it for now, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that there are two of the most outstanding yeshivas in heaven. One of them is called the Mesifta Ilah, the highest yeshiva in heaven, of which Hashem himself is the Rosh Yeshiva, and the second one is called Mesifta Derakia, the Yeshiva of Heaven, or the Yeshiva of the Sky, in the sense, Rakia, of which this angel, the Malach Memtes, is the Rosh Yeshiva. And we're taught that one of the differences between those two yeshivas is that in the lower yeshiva, in the yeshiva of this angel, there's still a concept of kosher pasul, tohar tome, asur mutter. Just like in our Gemara and Talmud Bavli, the six sections of Mishnah correspond to these six standard types of debate. One rabbi says you're allowed, one rabbi says forbidden. Asur mutter, kosher pasul, tome tohar. So this angel is the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva, the Mesifta Derakia, whereas Kaviochel Hashem himself, in the Mesifta Ilah, in that upper yeshiva, there's no such thing as debate. There's no such thing as right and left. There's only oneness, pure oneness. So again, this angel represents, is referred to as Mekanein B'Yetzira, that he is occupied with the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, that concept of Yetzira, where there still is an element or a concept of good and bad, right and left. So that again, when a person's involved in business, which is Pashtei Oraisa, which is associated with this angel, Nimso Shechochma Bino Das Shaloi Basias Masumatan, that the person's thought process that they're engaged in while they're doing business, their Chochma Bino Das, which is active during the time that they're involved in business, Oilim Beitzira, go up to the level of Yitzira, which means to the level of Pashtei Oraisa, to the level of the six sections of Mishnah and Gemara, the Halacha. You know, connecting with this angel Malach Memtes. And as a result of the Chochma Bin Adas of Asiya going up into the Olam HaYitzira, that allows that V'chol Nitzoytzeis HaKedusha Sheyesh Betoy Cho'akum, that all the holy sparks that are found among the goyim, among the other nations, in the world markets, v'ho'aratzeis, and in the other countries, shesvivois Yerushalayim, which surround Yerushalayim, oilim lebechina semuna. Those holy sparks, which were originally in the domain of the goyim, the sitrachra, they are able to rise up and enter into emuna, which is called Yerushalayim and Malchus, as we learned earlier in the Torah. And then we have a rule. Kishaze kom ze noifel. When the holiness rises, the sitrachra falls. Ki churban emuna, hu nikra churban Yerushalayim. Because when the faith is in a state of destruction, then that's called the destruction of Yerushalayim. Kama Shador Shechazal, like the Gemara says, Loichorva Yerushalayim at Shepaska Mimena Anshe Amona, that the city of Yerushalayim was only destroyed when there were no longer trustworthy, faithful people. So we see that when there's a lowering, when there's a churban of Emuna, there's a churban of Yerushalayim, which is the Malchus. That's the kingdom of Klaliyah, the kingdom of the Jews. Ukish Yerushalayim, Hainu Hoemuna, Hainu Masumatin, Shupashte Raisa, Misgaberes. Whereas, when the city of Yerushalayim, which represents faith, which represents conducting business in a proper way, which is associated with the halacha, with the Pashte Oraisa, when that rises up, when that is proper, Azai Elu Ho'akum V'Ho'arotzois Noiflim, then the forces of evil, the Sitra Achra, they fall. V'Oilim Imena Kol Anitzoitzois HaKdoshim Shebesoichom, and the holy sparks that were originally found among them in the Sitra Achra, they rise up and are able to be incorporated, integrated into the Kedusha, Besoid Achad Osar Samamonik Toires, in the secret of the 11 spices of Ktoiris. Yes.
Is this to say that you could accomplish something by doing Masav Amata and Bemuna more than by learning Torah?
The answer is not necessarily. This comes up many times in Likutei Moran, especially we're going to have it in chapter 54, where Rabbi Nizal shows incredible things that take place when a person's doing Masumat and Bemuna. But he says, even though these incredible things are taking place, when it's possible, a person is better off sitting and studying Torah, being in the Beis Medrash. And he gives several reasons why. Because again, here you're engaging the Sitra Achra head on, in a sense, which is very dangerous, number one. And number two, the level of holiness that's involved in this process is the malchus, the lower levels in a sense. Whereas when a person's engaged in pnimiyus haTorah or in full study of Torah, they're connecting with a higher level light. However, as we're going to see towards the end, Rabbi Nizal is going to address that in the end of this Torah. He's going to quote a Gemara in Baba Basra, where it speaks about a classroom where you have students that are excelling, students that are really capable of learning well, and students that aren't so capable of learning well. And he's going to show us how each one helps the other one in a big way. How those that are going out to work, sometimes their work serves as the sleep mode for those that are engaged in deep study of Torah. If there's achdus, if there's unity between them, then this one's going out to work is the sleep and rejuvenation and renewal for the one who's studying deep, intense Torah, for the great tzaddikim, and it gives them the ability to climb, to reach incredible heights. Because again, my friend is covering me. His going out to work is satisfying my need for sleep, my need for bitul Torah, in a sense, in order to be able to go to higher and higher levels. We're going to have that shortly. Let's continue. And this is what the Gemara says: Sholosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'knisos en loretz. Klal Yisrael were given three special mitzvahs upon entering Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal speaks about this in chapter 6 in Likut Imran in a few places. This is one of them, where he's going to show the theme and the connection between these three, how it ties into what we've been learning in this Torah. One mitzvah is Ha'amodas Melech, to appoint a king. Number two, Ukrisu Zarei Shel Amolek, to wipe out the seed of Amolek. And number three, Binyan Beis Hamikdosh. V'ho b'ho talyo. And these are all dependent on each other. Ki ha'amodas melech, appointing a king, hi b'chinas emuna. That corresponds to the emuna that we've been learning about in this chapter. Emuna is always the sphere of malchus. So if we spoke about sleep, if we spoke about masu matan b'emuna, if we spoke about learning the simpler levels of Torah, that's all establishing the king, the malchus. Ukrisus zaroi shel amolek, and wiping out the seed of Amolek, heim hanitzoitzois she'oilem mibein ho'akum varotzois. That's accomplished when we're able to extract the holy sparks that are found within the Avodah Zorah, within the Goyim, within the lands of the Goyim, and integrate them in the 11 spices. That brings about the downfall of Amalek, k'moy shemuva b'medrash, as we find in the Medrash in Rus. The Medrash there asks, Loma nismecha parshas krisu zaroi shel Amalek leparshas mishkoiles. Why is it that the Torah puts the story of the war against Amalek right next to the sin of having a Jew not being careful to have proper measurements in business? So the Gemara says, the Medrash says to teach us, Sheba'avoin mishkoiles hoya melchemes Amolek, that as a result of us not being honest in our weights and measures, that's what brought the war Amolek against us. V'hainu hach kayadua, and we know that these are tied in, these are connected to each other. That when we speak about this mishkoiles, these weights and everything, this refers also to holy sparks of Kedusha that are found in the balance, in a sense. The term tikla that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah. Now, we mentioned the Ktoiris, the 11 spices of the Ktoiris, that represents the defeat, the downfall of Amalek, you know, and these holy sparks being extracted. The Shelah Kodesh writes that the Gemara tells us that Mordechai is found in the Ktoris. One of the 11 spices was Mor, and the Targum there is Mordechai. So Mordechai represents one of these super sweet-smelling spices of the Ktoris. Haman, the Shelah Kodesh says, is also in the Ktoris. The word Chelbana is Bigematria Haman, to show that again, when we succeed, and Homa and Chelbana was something that had a terrible foul odor. Chelbana represents those sparks of Kedusha that have fallen into the hands of Amalek, the Klipa, the Homon, the Sitrachra. And when we succeed in extracting those sparks, then Amalek has a complete downfall. Just as we saw in the story of Purim, it says there, Varabim me'ame ho'oretz misyadim, that many of the Goyim were converting to Judaism. And that went together with Haman and his 10 sons having a complete mapola. Okay, that's the destroying Amalek. Ubinyan Beis Hamikdosh hu bechinas oyer haponim. And the building of the Beis Hamikdosh, that represents this light of the oyer haponim, which is what helps bring about this renewal of the moichen, of the seichel, that we spoke about in the of the neshama. Shubachin as chidish hamoichen, chidish haneshama. K'moy shom chazal, like the Gemara says, mi sheyesh bo deyo ke'ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yomov. That a person who has das, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash were built in his time, because the Beis Hamikdash is the center of chachma bino and das, the greatest chachomim of Klal Yisrael, the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin Agdola, was in the Beis Hamikdash. And also again, we mention three times a year, Yeroa es penei Hashem olikecha. We come to the Beis Hamikdash to see the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. Okay. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to introduce something a little bit new, and then we're going to close the chapter. Vezeh hachashmal hanase mebechinas vedoiver emes bovovoi. This chashmal, this holy light, a very high level of light that's called chashmal, that we introduced earlier in the Torah, which we said that this light is generated when a Jew is soichet to reach such a high level of doing business properly, where they are doiver emes bilvavoi, they tell the truth in the heart, they speak the truth that was in their heart. Umalbish lohemuna, and we said that this light of chashmal, which comes from bina, cloaks and protects the emuna, which is the malchus. Hu bechinas ritzuos, this is an aspect of the straps of the tefillin, the ritzuos. Ki ritzuos heimakifei malchus hainu emuna, because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the straps represent the makifen, they encircle, they surround the malchus and serve as a protection for it. Hainu hu emuna, the emuna. Veze she'omar Rav l'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. And this is tied into what the Gemara says in Baba Basra, page 21. The Gemara there speaks about education, educating children, and how it should be done properly. And the Gemara there speaks about not punishing excessively. There has to be punishment, but not excessive punishment. And the Gemara speaks about not expelling kids, not throwing kids out of the class, not suspending kids. So the Gemara there says that Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, who was one of the famous educators of children, he said, Katimche layanuka, when you're going to rebuke, when you're going to be punishing children, lo timche ele ba'arka sedemesani, punish them with a shoelace. Don't use a belt, use a shoelace. Meaning pull your punch, control, lightly, limit the punishment. Rabbeinu Zal says the word timche means to punish, to hit. The word timche also represents purity, loshen tahara. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, mochisi cho'ov pishoecho. Hashem says, I'll erase your sins, I'll wipe out your sins like a cloud dissipates. So again, the word mochisi means to purify. Yenuka is a small child. Yenuka hi bechinas moir hakoton. The term yenuka represents the moir hakoton, the small light, which is the moon, which is the malchus, which is emuna. Hi bechinas shena, which is also associated with sleep, sleeping at night. Lo timche elo ba'arka sedemesani. You will only succeed in doing this and accomplishing this by using a shoelace. Hainu ritzuos shel tefillin. This refers to, this symbolizes the straps of the tefillin. Kemo yishamru chazal, like the Gemara tells us on what we just read in last week's parsha, b'schar she'omar Avraham, as a reward for what Avraham Avinu said to the king of Sodom, michut v'atzroich na'al, I'm not willing to take a thread or a shoelace from you. Zachubonov, the Jewish people, the children of Avraham Avinu, was zoche l'shnei mitzvos, to two mitzvos. One mitzvah that's done with threads, l'chut shel tcheles, the threads of tcheles, u'l'ritzuos shel tefillin, and as a reward of saying, I'm not taking your shoelaces, we were zoche to the straps of tefillin. Va'ad sroich na'al, as if you look in the Chumash, in the words va'ad sroich na'al, targumoi, the targum is arkasa demesani, straps, you know, shoelace. It's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah that we know where we wear tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad. The tefillin shel Rosh is associated with the seichel, the moichin, a very high level of light. The tefillin shel Yad is a lower level. The hands usually represent emunah. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu was doing battle against Amalek, it says, Vayehi yodav emunah. His hands were outstretched in prayer, in a show of faith in Hashem. So the tefillin shel Yad represent Malchus in a sense, compared to the tefillin shel Rosh. And the straps from the tefillin shel Rosh, they represent in a sense a flow of light that's going down from Chachma through Bina, being channeled from Bina into the Malchus, as we saw in this Torah, to protect the Malchus, to strap, to be wrapped around the Malchus as a protection, so that the forces of Tumah, which try to draw from the Malchus, from the Emunah, from the nighttime, from sleep, they should not be able to draw in an improper way. And now Rabbeinu Zal says this, Hainu, kishaato roitze lishmoir es hamor hakoton, when you want to protect and watch over that lower level light, which is the Malchus, the Emunah, Hainu masa umatan be'emunah, you want to protect yourself when you're going out into the business world, that the klipos should not be able to draw in an improper way, in a harmful way, from the emunah, from the malchus, from the lower levels. Loisuchal lishmer es hananas. You will only be able to guard the nanas. We mentioned this term early in the Torah when we said if a person wants to learn about money matters, you should learn it from Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. And we said that nanas means a midget, someone who's small. Nanas is a remez to that mor hakoton, the small light, the moon, which serves at night, which is emuna malchus. Hainu mor hakoton, when you want to protect the mor hakoton, you can only, hainu yenuki, the small child, you can only do it, ela ba'arka sedemisani, with a shoelace. Hainu retsuois shel tefillin. Hainu, shetamshich chashmal. You have to be able to draw that light called chashmal, mibina liba, from the heart, lahalbish esu emuna, to clothe and encircle and protect the emuna. Hainu bechinas, yeshamesh es shimoin benanas. And this goes back to the Gemara that we quoted earlier in the previous year, that the Gemara said a person who wants to study money matters properly should serve Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Spend quality time, shimush, by Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Hainu, sheyekayim vedoiver emes bilvavoi. This is alluding to the concept of fulfilling the truth that's in your heart. Beshas asiyas masu umatin. When you're doing business, not just to keep your word, your verbal word, but even to follow the truth that's in your heart, Kirav Safra, like the Rabbi Rav Safra that the Gemara quoted earlier. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds an additional point. Uretzua, this strap that we're referring to here, this strap of the tefillin-like, this strap that represents the flow of the light of Chashmal from Bina to Malchus. The word Ritzua, the Arizal says, is Bigimatria 370, Lirmois, to hint us, Shal Yedei HaChashmal Hazeh, that through this light of Chashmal, Shehu Bechinas V'Doiver Emes Bilvavoi, which we said comes from a Jew being honest, the honesty that's rooted in the heart, Nishmar Ho'emuna, this guards and protects the emuna, exactly. And as a result, and then the soul of the person, which means the moichin, the seichel, that's inside. No. This ritzua protects the emuna and the neshama, which is the seichel that's inside of it, inside of this emuna, inside of this malchus, going through this renewal. Umekabeles me'oyer haponim, and it allows the neshama to receive from the light of Hashem's face, shehu shin ayin nohoirin shalponim elyoinim. This is referring to the 370 lights of Hashem's face, kaviyochel, hanim shochin mitikun ve'emes kayadua, which emanate from the one of the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, the one which is called ve'emes. Now, we're not going to go into this fully, but just to touch on it a little. This term 370 lights is used sometimes to refer to the 10 spheroids, the midos of Hashem, which are broken down into two levels, upper and lower. The three upper spheroids, Chochma Bina and Das, or Keser Chochma and Bina, are referred to as hundreds. The seven lower ones, Chesed through Malchus, are referred to as tens. So we have 370. These are referred to the 370 lights of the face of Hashem. And again, this word Ritzua, which is the strap, symbolizes like a pipe through which these lights flow from higher to lower, from the upper level, reaching down, all the way down to the Malchus.
When Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to show him his face, his aura upon him,
Hashem said, impossible. Ki lo yirani ha'odom v'choy.
Right, but so then Hashem said, I'll place you in a rock.
Exactly. And you'll, v'ro'isa esachoyrai, you'll see that my back, you will not see the front. And the Gemara says, what is achoyrai? Kesher shel tefillin. When Hashem said you will see the back, it kaviyochel, Hashem was saying, you'll be able to see the knot of the tefillin in back of my head. These terms are discussed in the Zohar Kodesh. We're going to have this shortly in chapter 38 in Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal goes into that in depth, number one. And again, this is all discussed elaborately in the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal. So when we're talking about seeing the light of the face of Hashem, we're talking about through many filters. You know, a very watered-down version of it. Okay, now we come to the part that I wanted to speak about before, that we touched on before in the question, about the Yisachar and Zvulun, the people who go out to work versus the people that are engaged in full-time Torah study. V'zeh Shomar, and now this is continuing over there in that Gemara in Baba Basra, page 21, that we started earlier, about educating kids, about not punishing excessively, you know, using a shoelace to hit. V'zeh Shomar, and the Gemara goes on to say over there, the Kori, and those students who are willing to learn, who are learning, Kori, good, very, let them learn. Udaloi Kori, what about those students in the class that are not learning? They're not learners. They're not keeping up fully with the rest, you know. What do we do with them? Do we throw them out of the class? Do we suspend them? Do we beat them up? The Gemara and Rashi over there, if you look in Rashi over there, Basra Tov Chal, Rashi says, no, don't send them out and don't punish them excessively. It says, Udaloi Kori, and those who are not on the level to be studying fully like the others, let them keep company for the ones who are studying. There are different interpretations. Rashi gives one pshat on that. The Marsha says what that means, if you're going to throw kids out of a class, what are those kids going to do in the street? They're going to do drugs, they're going to do all kinds of bad things. And they're going to become a temptation For the good kids. The good kids in the class, there's going to be good kids in the class, and there'll be the bad kids outside who are having fun, in quote, doing all kinds of terrible things, and that'll be an attraction even for good kids to go there. So therefore, the Gemara says, try to keep the bad kids in the class even, when possible. So that even if they're not keeping up with the learning, they'll keep company for their friends. Now, Rabbeinu Zalki is another twist on this. Ki hadovar kosher, because there's a problem here, there's a question here. Ho tenach, what we've been learning so far in this Torah about people who are learning deeply and deep Dveikus Tashem, that they're allowed to take a break. They have to go to sleep, and they have to do business, and Hotenach Mishu Bar Urian, a person who's really a learner, a serious learner, V'oisek B'masu Matan B'emuna, and when he takes a break, he goes out to do business in a perfectly kosher way. Azai Hamasu Matan Hu Toiv Etzloi. So we learned that the time that he's spending in doing business is a tremendous benefit to him. Shehamoichen Shaloi Mischachin, because that's like taking a nap. It's like going to sleep. His moichen receive renewal, rejuvenation. Aval mi she'ehu einoi baruryon. But a person who is not learning Torah deeply and properly and everything. Ma hano yesh loy shes masman. What benefit is there from his engaging in business matters? If he's not learning Torah properly, then when he's engaging in business, he's not rectifying those holy sparks and everything, is he? So Rabbi Nizal says, Da, you should know, Kimi shehu oisek b'masu matan be'emuna, a Jew who is conducting business faithfully in a real proper kosher way, who oise toive lechaveroi shehu mishoroshoi. He is doing a favor, a benefit, to his friend, to the Yisochar, who shares the same shoirish neshama, where these two come from the same origin. We know Yisochar and Zvulun were buddies, partners. They were connected, very connected. Meaning, lachavesh shemoichin shel chaveroi mischachin besoy chamasu matin sheloi shebemuna. Because the moichin of the Yisochar, the moichin of the one who's learning intensely and deeply, undergo a renewal and a rejuvenation besoy chamasu matin sheloi bemuna, during the conducting of business of Zvulun. When Zvulun is conducting business in a proper kosher way, Yisochar's moichin are receiving renewal and rejuvenation. Vezehu, and this is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Dekori Kori, the one who's capable of learning well and let him learn. Mishahu Bar Urion, a person who's really on a high madrega of learning. Azai Toivoloi, Shenischadesh Sichloi Betoichemuna. He will receive a benefit from the other ones going out to work, from the partner, the other one, being next to him, being connected to him, that his seichel will be rejuvenated in the emuna, and he'll have new moichen, new seichel for learning and dveikus haboirei. That's the one who's learning deeply, when he takes a break, that's what happens. Udaloi Kori, and the one who doesn't learn, he's only involved in business, let's say, or primarily business, Levit Savso Lachaveroi. Let him keep company, let him be a partner to the Yisochar, Hainu Shehu Oise Toivo Lachaveroi Shemeshiroshi, meaning he does a tremendous favor, a benefit to his Chaver, who is from the same Shoirish Neshama. Now Rabbeinu Zal ties all of this into Rosh Hashanah, because this Torah was said on Rosh Hashanah. V'zeh b'chinas tkiyas Rosh Hashanah. This is tied into the concept of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Ki roish Hashanah hu b'chinas sheino kiyadua. Because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, the holiday Rosh Hashanah, the word shana means year. The word shana is also miloshen sheino, sleep. It's a new Rosh Hashanah. It's the top of sleep. That just like when we know that Hashem created man on Rosh Hashanah, on the sixth day of creation, which was Aleph Tishrei. And every year on Rosh Hashanah, man is recreated, the world is recreated anew, in a sense. And just like when Adam was created, in order for him to be completed, Hashem had to put him to sleep, and take a rib, and make Chava from that. Chava, who is the Malchus, which is what ended up completing man. So too, the Zohar Kodesh says, every year, Hashem places a sleep on Klal Yisrael, on Rosh Hashanah. There's a sleep that Zeranpin experiences in order to be able to rebuild, renew the Malchus, in a sense. Rosh Hashanah b'china shena k'yadua, shehu b'chinas maso matan b'emuna. And we learned before that sleep is similar in concept to a Jew going out to do business in a trustworthy way. B'chinas pashtei oraisa, the study of the simpler parts of Torah. B'chinas oisek b'dinei momenois. Utkiois, and the blowing of the shofar, heim hisoirus hashena. That's the waking up from sleep. Shehu chidush hamoichin me'or haponim. That refers to the renewal that the brain experiences. A new charge. It gets charged up anew, like charging up batteries from the oir haponim. Umizehu is atmos pnei hatokeya. And this is what's represented by the redness in the face of the Baal Tokeya. A person who blows shofar, usually his face lights up in a sense. Shenis oiraru oirois miponim elyoinim. This is showing us that the lights of the heavenly face of the oir haponim have been activated. Vezeh pirush, and this is what's hinted to in the pasuk that we recite before shofar blowing. Ashrei ha'om yoidei serua, Hashem bo'or ponecho yehaleichun. Ashrei ha'om yoidei serua, hu bechinas ha'olas achad osa samanik torah shebetoich akum varotzois. Hashoichnim svivois hamasumatn bemuna, sheneschabre meilov hanitzoitzos. The first part of the pasuk, fortunate is the nation that knows the sound of the shofar. This represents that elevation taking place where the holy sparks that were originally found in the Sitra Achra, that represent those other countries that surround Yerushalayim, that surround the Emuna, that surround the Masumat Memuna, that attach themselves to the person. They attach themselves to the Malchus. Vezehu yoidei serua. The word yoidei, yidia, means to attach. A chibur. As it says, vayeda odom eschavo ishto. That Odom was united. He attached himself. He bonded with his wife Chava. So yoidei loshen hischabrus. Trua miloshen shvira. The word trua also means to shatter, referring to those holy sparks that fell into the domain of the Sitra Achra as a result of the shattering of the vessels. Ki hanitzoitzois hemishviras kelim, because these holy sparks fell into the domain of the Sitra Achra as a result of the shattering of the vessels. And then the pasuk finishes, Hashem bo'or ponecho yehalechun. Bechinas masa umatan. This is tying into the concept of going out to do business. K'moy shekosuv, smach zvulun b'tzeisecho. Zvulun, rejoice when you go out, your journeys. Yehaleichun. Yehaleichun means to go. Yehaleichun, to go, that's referring to going out to do business. That's what brings about the oir haponim. When business is done really properly with emuna and with v'doiver emes bilvavoi, then we're zoicha to receive the light from the oir haponim. That chashmal and the moichin, the neshama, gets completely renewed and rejuvenated. Hainu, kisha oisek b'masu matin b'emuna. When a person engages in business, you know, in a proper way, in order to bring renewal to his neshama, that when he gets up in the morning, as a result of that emuna of the nighttime, the emuna of the sleep, the neshama is new. In order to receive from the oyer haponim, chidush hamoichin, this renewal of the brain, chidush haneshama, this renewal of the soul, al yidei zeh oilin kol hanitzoitzois. Not only does the person get elevated, but many holy sparks that were found within the domain of the Sitra Achra also get elevated now, al yidei achad osar samamonik toiris, through this concept of the 11 spices of the Ketores. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Sure. Again, some of this is quite deep, but some of it is quite practical. Rabbeinu Zal showing us how we go through our day, and what's accomplished by going to sleep, and what's accomplished by going to work, and what's accomplished by studying lower levels of Torah and deeper levels of Torah. Every piece is necessary. These are all parts of a whole. that are part of the success of Klal Yisrael and bringing about restoring and returning to Klal Yisrael all the holy sparks and holy neshamas that got lost, that assimilated within the nations of the Goyim, bringing all of it back, which will lead to the final downfall of Amalek, Sitra Achra, Tikkun HaMalchus, which is the coming of Mashiach. To be continued.
Amen.
All the best.
Amen.